Welcome to our fourth sermon in our sermon series entitled, When Life is Unfair. Today's sermon title, Sacrifice and Trust. Open your Bible to Psalm 4, verse 5, and let's begin.
O Lord, you are the God of sacrifice. When no other sacrifice was enough, you sacrificed yourself. Pray that you would teach us to understand that principle, and I pray that we would put our trust in you both for eternal life and for the life that you've given us to live here. I pray that your Spirit would whisper to each of our hearts, and I ask this in Christ's name, amen. Not a believer in shortcuts. There's really no such thing as a shortcut. When we think we can take a shortcut, we shortcut ourselves. Because everything great in life requires sacrifice. I want to be just as crystal clear as I can. There are no shortcuts. Everything in life requires sacrifice. Great art requires sacrifice. Leonardo da Vinci laid on his back in the winter, month after month after month after month, to paint the Sistine Chapel. Great music requires sacrifice. Great civilizations require sacrifice. We have this civilization because brave men and women sacrificed a life of comfort and went to absolutely terrible places in the world to fight so we could have our freedom. Great civilizations require sacrifice. Policemen and women get in cars every day and make incredible sacrifices so we get to live in safe neighborhoods. Firemen, fire persons, and paramedics rush to the scene of disaster and sacrifice themselves so we can live in this civilization. Great inventions require sacrifice. Great businesses are built on sacrifice. Great homes require sacrifice. If you look at a couple and you think they just got lucky, you are deceiving yourself. They make sacrifices for each other, and that makes a great home. And by the way, great churches require sacrifice. There's no such thing as a great church without sacrifice. There is no greatness in life without sacrifice. And so when I say to you, we approach unfairness with the understanding that a sacrifice has to be made to deal with unfairness. Every unfairness requires a sacrifice. And here's the ugly truth. The person who's unfair, they're not going to make that sacrifice. 99% of the time, the person who is treated unfair has to rise to the level of greatness and make a sacrifice. Because if we don't, we can't move on. And that's why David says to us in Psalm 4, verse 5, sacrifice the right sacrifices. David said that when he was traumatized by Absalom's unfair rebellion. David said, I know there's only one way forward in this, and I have to sacrifice the right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. So what do right sacrifices look like in times of unfairness? Let's cover a couple of them. I need to sacrifice self-pity, not the heroic spirit. Remember last week I said, you can be a victim or you can be a hero, but you can't be both. If to confront unfairness, I have to make a sacrifice, I want to sacrifice my self-pity. I don't want to sacrifice my heroic spirit. Church, if I have to make a sacrifice, I want to look at self-pity and say, you can't stay here anymore. You've had enough of my life. I'm done with you. I'm sacrificing you so that I can rise to a level above where I am. Does that make sense to you? How about this? Sacrifice the past, not the future. See, the unfairness that gets us stuck happens sometime in the past. And we hold on to it, and we hold on to it, and we hold on to it. We repeat it. And if I'm going to really deal with it, I got to sacrifice it and let it go. Otherwise, I sacrifice my future. And an unfair thing that happened 20 years ago is going to rob me of my better future tomorrow if I don't sacrifice it. Just let it go. How about this? Sacrifice entitlement, not investment. We are an entitlement culture that makes unfairness even more visceral with us. Have you ever heard somebody say, I'm a good person, this shouldn't be happening to me? Have you ever said it? Okay. Life happens to all of us. You got to sacrifice the idea that because I'm a good person, I get a freebie. Church, I wish it was true. I wish I could tell you that's the way the life works, but it doesn't work that way. I'm not entitled to be walk around in a painless bubble because I'm a good person. I've got to sacrifice that sense of entitlement, and I have to say, I am a person. And just like everybody else, I'm going to experience unfairness in life. And so I'm going to sacrifice my sense of entitlement. Instead of saying, I deserve something better than this, I say, I'm going to invest in life and make it better than this. Are you hearing me? When I won't sacrifice entitlement, I can't make the investment to make life better. Because I just get stuck saying, I don't deserve this. I deserve better. That doesn't change anything. But if I will say, I sacrifice my sense of entitlement and I'm going to make an investment that will make my life better, now I have a chance. 4, sacrifice withdrawal, not re-engagement. When we're treated unfairly, one of our first responses is, okay, fine, I'm done. Right? You're treated unfairly, and you withdraw. It's human nature. It's kind of this self-protective thing, right? Wives, how many times have you said, okay, I'm done? Good thing you didn't mean it. Brothers, how many times have you said, I'm done? So I have to sacrifice my impulse to withdraw so that I can express my capacity to re-engage with life. Now, I'm telling you, this is important. Some of you are living in a world of withdrawal. You have retreated. You look at everyone as another problem. You see everyone through tainted eyes. You have a hard time engaging with people because something has happened and you've withdrawn. You're robbing yourself of a beautiful life. Sacrifice that withdrawal and reengage. 5, sacrifice negative mentality, not positive. See, here's one thing bad about unfairness. It has a tendency to make us feel negative about things, right? It has a tendency to make us feel negative. Sharon and I had to buy something, and we talked to a salesman on the phone, and he told us one thing and did another. And I got a negative mentality toward his company. Okay, I don't know if that whole company is a bunch of creeps or not. But you know what? I automatically went there. It's the whole company. All right. Unfairness raises a negative mentality in me. I've got to sacrifice that, and I've got to stay positive and say, look, this is life. You get people like this. There's no avoiding them. I wrote his name down, and I'm not doing business with him anymore. But that doesn't mean the whole company's that way. That doesn't mean every company's that way. Church? I want you to really hear this one. If you're going to get past unfairness, you have to sacrifice misery, not joy. You're going to choose which one of these you sacrifice. See, unfairness produces misery, or you move beyond it and you get to choose joy. I'm going to talk about this more next week. Sacrifice the right sacrifices. I want to sacrifice the misery and have the joy. But if I won't sacrifice that misery and I hold on to it and I repeat it to myself and I play those tapes again and again and again, I guarantee myself misery and I sacrifice the joy. Church? Sacrifice hopelessness and fear, not faith and courage. If we're not careful, unfairness makes us feel hopeless. What's the use? If people are like that, if all men are that way, if all women are like this, if all companies do this, okay, I have to sacrifice that. And I have to say, my life is not going to be controlled by hopelessness and fear. My life is going to be controlled by faith and courage. Do you see? So unfairness tends to make me full of self-pity. It makes me focus on the past. It raises my sense of entitlement, and it makes me want to withdraw. I develop a negative mentality, I get miserable, and I live a life that's hopeless and fearful. That's what unfairness will do to you if you don't sacrifice something. Do you see? David said, sacrifice right sacrifices. Now, who do I make these sacrifices to? This is a big problem. Sometimes you think, if I don't stay angry and resentful and hold a grudge, the person who was unfair to me got away with it. Huh? If I don't hold on to it, it means they got away with it. Okay, I'm not asking you to make a sacrifice to the person who was unfair. You're not sacrificing anything to the person who was unfair. You're sacrificing these negative things back to God. You're laying them back in God's hands. You are sacrificing the brokenness back to God, not to the unfair person. You'll never do it if you focus on the unfair person. If you focus on God and say, God, I find too much self-pity in my heart. I'm giving it over to you. Dear God, I find too much, I've given into misery. I'm sacrificing it back to you. We make these sacrifices for ourselves, not for the person who was unfair. Because here's the hard truth. Nothing you do will change them. They're unfair. Right? What do you think? Someday they're going to come to your house with a key lime pie and get down on their knees and say, I'm so sorry. I was such a jerk. That's never going to happen. Church, I'm not doing this for them. I'm doing this for me. I'm reclaiming a healthy life. I'm reclaiming a Christian life. I'm making these sacrifices because they enrich the life I get to live in Christ Jesus in this world. All sacrifice is personal. No one can do it for you. I see people who've lost weight, and I go, lose some for me, would you? Whatever you're doing is working. Lose a couple pounds for me. Wouldn't it be nice if that worked that way? Somebody else could work, do the workout, and you could lose the weight. See, all sacrifice is personal. If you want to lose the weight, you got to make the sacrifice and eat kale and walk 100 miles every day. Right? Nobody else can do that for you. We can't make sacrifices for each other because all sacrifices are personal. So if it feels very personal to you, that is the nature of sacrifice. You won't be a better baseball player because somebody else practiced. Nobody else can make your sacrifices. We all have to make our own. But personal sacrifice is a necessary part of greatness. These sacrifices that we make to deal with unfairness, they're part of how God makes a great soul. You become a great soul through the practice of sacrificing and letting go of things that you shouldn't hold on to. This is true too. Sacrifice is messy. Have you read the Old Testament, the book of Leviticus? It's sloppy. They're bringing sheep in there. They are opening them up and finding the kidneys and the fatty tissue around them, jerking them out and throwing them on the fire. Look, it's not very, thank God you go to Christ Church and not that. The part of the ritual is actually slinging blood. It was messy. Sacrifice is messy. And when we make sacrifices for our soul, it's messy. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's pretty. I'm not saying that you should sail right through it. I'm admitting right up front, it's messy. But I'm also saying it is an absolutely necessary part to deal with unfairness. And when David was in the middle of unfairness, he said, I'm going to sacrifice right sacrifices. I'm going to get rid of what I have to get rid of on the altar to hold on to what I really want in life. Church? Can anybody identify with the poor lady? She was treated unfairly. The guy married her in false pretenses. And ran up the credit card. That was in her name. And now she's making her appeal to the judge. And the judge says, hon, I understand everything you say, but he still stamped her bankrupt. See, here's what I'm saying. She's making a sacrifice for what he did. Church? And that's a double unfairness. He did it, but she has to sacrifice to get a good life back. All right. Should it be that way? No. Wouldn't it be nice if everything worked nice for nice people? But this is the hard reality of the world. This is the unpleasant truth. When we get treated unfairly, it can make our lives miserable. But the only way to get out of that misery is to make the sacrifices we have to make to get that done and move forward. And that's exactly what King David is saying to us. Sacrifice the right sacrifices. Don't tell yourself, it isn't fair, I shouldn't have to do this. Don't say to yourself, somebody else should have to do this. Don't say to yourself, why doesn't God make this person do that? That's all not helpful. Just bundle up all this thinking. Take it to the altar. Throw it on there and say, I'm done with it. What do I have to do from today forward to have the life that Christ created me to live? Are you with me, church? And then David said, sacrifice right sacrifices and put your trust in the Lord. See, you really can't sacrifice right sacrifices if you don't trust God. You just can't do it. It's asking too much. It's asking too much to ask people to make those kind of sacrifices unless you trust in the Lord. And if you trust in the Lord, you have a capacity to do what you couldn't do by yourself. So what do I mean by trust in the Lord? I believe there is an initial act of faith where we simply say to God, there's something wrong with me. I'm a sinner. I'm not even lying to myself. I know I'm not as good as I should be. And I'm trusting this broken self with Christ for forgiveness. Do you see? That's an initial act of trust where I simply say to God, everything that I don't like about myself and you don't like about me, I'm trusting that with Christ. Because Christ said that he died for my sins. It's an initial act of trust. But church, there is also an initial aligning with Christ. It's not enough to say, I want you to forgive everything bad I did, but don't bother me in my life anymore. Forgive me and you go your way and I'll go mine. That doesn't work. The initial act is faith in Christ, where I trust what is broken, wrong, and sinful about me to Christ. And then I say, I'm going to align my life with Christ. I'm going to say, I'm trusting Christ not just to forgive my sin, but to be my Lord. See what David said? Trust in the Lord. He becomes our Lord when we say, I am aligning myself. Maybe in the past, I would have dealt with unfairness in a different way. But now you're my Lord, and I'm going to deal with it the way you want me to. We trust in the Lord daily as an expectation that he cares for us and desires to bless us. What does trust in the Lord look like? Every day, I have this little conversation with God. It sounds something like this. I know you love me. I know you care for me. I know you want what's best in my life. Could I please walk today with you? See? That's daily trust. I don't want to ignore God's Saturday night to Saturday night. I want to have this ongoing, trusting relationship. Today, God, I've got to do these hard things. I'm trusting you to be there with me. What does trusting the Lord look like in times of unfairness? Well, the first thing it looks like is honest conversation. If I can't talk to God honestly, I don't trust him. Just like anybody else. If you can talk to somebody honestly, you trust them. If you can't talk to them honestly, you don't trust them, right? The first evidence that I'm trusting God in a time of unfairness is I talk to him honestly. He's got big shoulders. He can take it. Remember the very first verse in this, chapter in dealing with unfairness is pray. Call on the Lord. The second way I trust God in times of unfairness is I'm willing to try something different. So here's what's going to happen. When you're dealing with unfairness by yourself, God is going to ask you to try something different. Because what we do ourselves doesn't work. That's the things I just listed, right? Self-pity, withdrawal, misery, fear, hopelessness. That's what we do by ourselves. When I trust God, He's going to come along and say, I want you to try to do this differently. And if I trust Him, I'm willing to try to deal with it differently. If I don't trust Him, I'm going to say, God, you just don't understand, and I'm going to stick with the old way. When I trust God in times of unfairness, I have a new ability to confront my fears. See, God is incredible about giving me a new ability to look at it differently. You got stuck. It was unfair. You can't get away from the unfairness of it all. It rolls around in your head. It makes you afraid that everybody is this way. It makes you feel that life, you're afraid that life is never going to be any better. But Christ comes along and says, let me give you some fresh ability. Let me give you a fresh start. Let me give you the capacity to at least name your own fears and begin to deal with them. That's what trust in the Lord looks like. 4. Unfairness can be confusing. So when I trust in the Lord, I accept advice when I'm confused. Are you with me? I'm confused. I'm not even sure I know what to do. Well, I'm willing to accept His advice and not stay in the confusion. 5. What happens when God's advice isn't what I want to do? Well, trust is a willingness to second guess myself when I disagree with God. See, that's a big trust. If God wants me to do something I don't want to do, trust means I'm willing to second guess myself. Not trusting in the Lord means I can't ever second guess myself. I have to argue back to God. You can't possibly be right. Church, I've talked to people in my office. They're very, very angry, very angry. And I said, would you be willing to try? Would you just be willing to try and do this? Those who put their trust in the Lord are willing to second guess their anger for a minute, and they will try. If you don't trust in the Lord, you can't. Church? 6, trust in the Lord looks like openness. I'm open to God. I'm not hiding myself from Him. Vulnerability, that means I admit my weakness. I admit that I'm not invincible. But guess what else trust in the Lord looks like? Joy. Trust in the Lord looks like joy. Whenever you trust in the Lord, your sense of joy goes up. It is an absolutely inescapable consequence of trusting in the Lord. 7, when I trust in the Lord, I believe in His total commitment to justice. Now, this is a big point. How can I sacrifice all these things? Then the unfair person doesn't pay any consequences. Not true. I'm trusting in the ultimate justice of God. The Apostle Paul taught, when you're nice to people who are unfair to you, you heap coals of condemnation on their head. Just saying. When you can't move beyond that, you get stuck and rob yourself of life. If you can be nice to someone who has been unfair to you, it is an ultimate statement to God, I trust your justice, and I'm not going to get in the way of your justice. Church. And it turns out everything I've taught you tonight, Jesus Christ himself practiced. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 11. But when Christ appeared as a high priest of good things that have come, then through the greater and more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, he entered once for all into the holy places, not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by means of his own blood, thus securing an eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkling of defiled persons with ashes of a heifer sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve a living God? All right, let me tell you what this is saying. All the stuff in the Old Testament where they made sacrifices, that was all an image of what Christ was going to do. And it didn't really purify any sin. Christ comes along and says, the world is overwhelmed by unfairness. The world is crushed under the burden of unfairness. A sacrifice has to be made. Somebody's got to do what it takes to make all of this right. And in an incredible act of greatness, he said, I will make that sacrifice. That's exactly what I'll do for humanity. The people who treated him with cruel unfairness, he rose above it, and he simply said, I will make the sacrifice to pay for all this unfairness. All unfairness requires a sacrifice, and Christ made the ultimate sacrifice. When you make small sacrifices to deal with unfairness, you're only following the example of Jesus Christ. Do you hear me? The little things you sacrifice to deal with unfairness, you're just simply following this noble example of Christ who made the ultimate sacrifice. The unfair person rarely makes the sacrifice, so it falls upon the person treated unfairly to make it. That's exactly what Christ did. I'm thinking of the terrible disaster in Las Vegas, where that very wicked man got himself up in a hotel and shot 500 people and murdered 58 of them. He'll never pay for that unfairness in this world, because him shooting himself doesn't pay for that unfairness. How does that do anything for the families? It does nothing. Somebody lost a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, a dad, a mom, and one knucklehead shooting himself doesn't pay for that. You know who pays for that? The victims. And they either come to terms with it and make the personal sacrifices to live well, or it ruins the rest of their life. Isn't it true? So Christ says, I'm going to lead the way on this. I'm going to lead the way on this myself. I'm going to make the personal sacrifice for the sin of people. I'm going to do it so well, it'll only have to be done once forever. Christ's sacrifice purifies our conscience. The other side of this is, you just haven't been treated unfairly. Every one of us in here has treated somebody unfairly. I have, you have. Can I remind you, we've treated people unfairly on purpose, and we've treated people unfairly, unwittingly. And I'm grateful that Christ makes a sacrifice to forgive me for that. Are you? Christ's sacrifice doesn't just purify my conscience. Christ's sacrifice empowers me to serve in a world that's unfair. Now, I want to talk to you people who are really trying to serve others. As you try to serve others, you'll get to know how unfair this world really is. Unfair. I was preaching at one of our other campuses. Guy came up and told me this story. I knew he was lying. I've been doing this business so long, I've heard the story before. I knew he was lying. I said, I don't believe your story. But I tell you what, if you want to risk lying to me, I'm going to give you some money. You are accountable to God for this money. See, the only reason I would do that is I am empowered by Christ to serve. I know he was lying because he came back the next Sunday and wanted more money. I don't care. In that moment, I did the right thing, church. I served. And I trust the unfairness of that to God. Because when I have been unfair, I want Christ to forgive my unfairness. Church, I want to serve right along with Christ. And if I don't come to terms with unfairness, it will add up and add up and add up, and I will not be able to serve because I'll become cynical. Some of you know what that's like, right? You've served and become jaded. The unfairness was just too much. So here's what I'm saying. Christ doesn't just die to forgive my unfairness. He dies to empower me to serve powerfully in an unfair world. Our dear Heavenly Father, I'm grateful to you. I'm impressed by you. I want to be pleasing to you. I want the life of Christ to empower me to serve in an unfair world. I want to sacrifice whatever I have to sacrifice to let go of some things. And I want to trust in you in ways that are visible in my life. And I pray the same thing for everyone who's here tonight. I pray that we could get this right. Help us, I pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information about Christ Church, check us out on the web at christchurchohio.org. If we can be of any help to you, call us at 440-236-8282. Until next time, blessings to you.